eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the mind of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. We do not think big enough when we think about the mysteries of Jesus Christ and of his Holy Mother. Our minds, our imaginations, our understanding is so, so small compared to the realities of the profound mysteries that God has revealed during their lifetimes. In this video, I want to share a few takeaways from a wonderful book called The Mystical City of God, which was written by Venerable Mary of Agreda. She's a 17th century Spanish mystic and nun who, over the course of decades, had revelations showing her the behind-the-scenes hidden mysteries of the interior lives of Jesus and Mary, about how profound God's love is for the Virgin Mary, and about how intense her love is for God. And I think that through this book, we come to a greater and greater understanding of the power of God in our lives and the miracles that he wants to work in our lives. Because when we see the glory that God has prepared for those who love him, this earthly exile of ours doesn't become so bitter. This valley of tears doesn't become so sad, but it can actually be a place of rejoicing and comfort and joy. No other book besides Holy Scripture has received as many imprimaturs as The Mystical City of God. It's been through the Spanish Inquisition, the Roman Inquisition. It's been recommended by popes over the centuries. Saint Pius X considered it one of his favorite books, and Pope Pius XI said that it's such a great book that he recommended it for the whole church, gave the apostolic blessing to anyone who read this book or spread devotion to this book. So the Holy Fathers have spoken, the saints have spoken. Interestingly, this is a favorite book of American saints, like Saint Catherine Drexel, Blessed Slonis Casey, and Saint Junipero Serra. Blessed Slonis Casey loved this book so much, and I'm only holding up the abridged version. The actual thing is 3,000 pages. And it's four volumes, but this is the popular abridgment. But Blessed Slonis Casey loved this book so much that he read it four times on his knees, and it was the only thing that he would let the brothers read to him when he was on his deathbed. Another very holy and saintly woman from the United States is Mother Angelica. This was one of the first spiritual books that she read after her conversion, which had a profound impact on the course of her life. In this short video, I can't cover all of the great things in this book, but I just want to highlight a couple of key takeaways which will encourage us to enrich our prayer lives, our personal lives, and our family lives. Now, before we get into these key points, I want to tell you a quick story. While Mary of Agreda was alive, she was a cloistered nun and she never left her convent. She was eventually made the abbess of her community when she was in her early 20s. When the Franciscan missionaries had come to the New World, what is now Southwest United States, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, they found that this tribe of Jumano Indians came to them. And they came to the Franciscans asking to be baptized. They knew the gospel, they professed the creed, and they wanted to receive the sacraments of the church. And the Franciscans were in shock. What do you mean you want to be baptized? Who told you about this? And the Jumano Indians said, the lady in blue. The lady in blue. She told us all these things. She told us about Jesus, about Mary, and about the Catholic Church. So the Franciscans, eventually after investigating this, found out that the lady in blue was not the Blessed Virgin Mary who was appearing to them and instructing them in the faith. It was Mary of Agreda. She had made over 500 bilocations during her lifetime to the Jumano Indians and many others in that area, preaching the gospel, preparing them to be baptized. The first baptisms in the state of Texas came as a result of the conversions brought by Mary of Agreda. I say all of this just to add emphasis to the great saint who is giving us this message. There's something we can learn from this book. There is something that we can take away that is invaluable. The first thing we notice about the book is its title, The Mystical City of God. The reason why it's called that is because the Blessed Virgin Mary is the mystical city of God. As St. John in his vision in Revelation saw the New Jerusalem coming out of heaven, beautiful as a bride adorned to meet her husband, he was seeing the church, but he was also seeing the Blessed Virgin Mary, the one crowned with 12 stars with the moon and the earth at her feet. This is the Virgin Mary. And scripture says that in Jerusalem, all find their home. That is, in the Virgin Mary, all find their home. Scripture also says that instruction will come forth from Jerusalem. That is, all true doctrine, all good teaching comes forth from the Virgin Mary. This is why the Church also calls her the one who crushes all heresies. You alone have destroyed all heresy in the whole world. The heavenly Jerusalem, our Blessed Mother, is the one in whom we Christians find our true homeland. If Our Lady is the mystical city of God, that means she will be the paradise that we one day come into when we come into eternal life. She is the paradise prepared for us. Just as St. Alphonsus says that the moment she got to heaven, paradise had met a new paradise. She is the one who unites the mystical body of Christ, but she unites us in her heart, in her womb. She carries us as a mother carries her child. She brings us to birth in the Christian life, bringing us to spiritual perfection, growth in virtue, and the abandonment of sin and vice. This is what she accomplishes in us, because she is the mystical city of God, who has come down from heaven to reveal a message of salvation and of happiness and of joy and of everlasting life. And this book gives us a little glimpse into who this mystical city of God is, what her prayer life is like, about the different moments leading up to her Immaculate Conception, about God's love for her, about how the whole created universe was made for her. All of creation was made for her because she's the pinnacle of the created universe. This book provides the background stories of the doctrines that we know about Our Lady. For example, she's the mediatrix of all grace. But in this work, we see the way that Our Lady actually distributes grace to the whole church, and about how through her prayer and intercession, she obtains salvation for the entire church, and how God uses her as an instrument through which He works to reach every single soul and to bring them back to Himself. But we see that through her actual life, through her assumption, through her coronation, through the place prepared for her in heaven by God before the foundation of the world. And we see how the entire created universe was made to be fulfilled through Christ and Our Lady. We refer to Our Lady as our advocate, but we see through this work just the ways that she does advocate for us. One little story is that at the moment of Our Lady's death and her assumption, she asked that every single person who looked at Jesus with just a little bit of compassion while our Lord was carrying his cross would be saved. And Almighty God granted her that request, that anyone who looked at Jesus crucified and suffering with just a little compassion would be saved from their sins. So for those of us who pray the Holy Rosary, that should be a great encouragement, because that's what we do when we pray the Rosary. We contemplate the sorrows and the sufferings of Jesus and Mary, and Our Lady is trying to show us through this book that that really does save our own souls. If that's the compassion that Mary had for strangers who were cheering on the crucifixion at times, how much more will she do for her devoted children who pray the Holy Rosary with fervor and attention and persistence? Another beautiful point is the mystical city of God gives us a glimpse into the relationship of Mary and Saint Joseph, showing their profound humility and love for one another, the true perfect marriage, what it looks like, the way that a man loves his wife and a wife loves her husband. We see that throughout their early lives in their marriage, the way they brought Christ up and the way that Jesus was obedient to them. That though he is the incarnate God, he looked to Joseph and he looked to Mary for instruction and help and assistance. And we see the way that they work together as one family, united in love, in perfect love. One example of this is we see Our Lady's profound humility and her obedience to Saint Joseph when our Lord was about to be born and they couldn't find a place to rest for the night. And Saint Joseph was humiliated by this and he was so ashamed. And Our Lady knew how all of this was going to end. She knew where they were going to eventually go, but she waited in perfect obedience until Saint Joseph could find the place and provide the place for our Lord to be born. And she did that in perfect patience and in humility. And also, whenever Our Lady entered the cave in Bethlehem, Mary Vagreta says that she immediately began cleaning the cave and preparing the cave. And I think that that cave is a symbol of the human heart, that Our Lady comes into our hearts and she cleans out the filth and the dirt. But for what cause? So that she can bring Jesus Christ to birth. And what she did in that stable in Bethlehem is what she does for us. It's what she does for every Christian. She comes into our hearts. She comes before us by the power of the Holy Spirit. She gives us faith, hope, and eventually divine love. And she brings Jesus Christ to life in us, and us to life in Him. The next point, in a time when there's such little love and reverence for the Holy Eucharist, we see a glimpse into the early church's reverence and love for the Holy Eucharist. And we see, especially as Our Lady prepared for her Assumption, she made a will to dispossess herself of everything she had, both spiritual and physical. Now, she only had two tunics, so she brought St. John to her and gave those two tunics to him and said, this is all that she actually had in this world. And then she gave away all of her spiritual fruits, all of the grace that she had ever merited in her whole life, everything that she had done helping to redeem mankind with her Son, Jesus Christ. She returned that back to God and asked that all of that be given to the church. That was her final will, that everything that she was and who she is be returned to the church for our survival. And then she goes and she, in humble tears, in adoration and love, began thanking the church for the Holy Eucharist. She began thanking the church for giving her the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. Think about that humility. The woman who bore God, who gave us the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, was then begging with gratitude the church for giving her Holy Communion. This is a humility that we have no concept of. This is a love for the Holy Eucharist that we have no concept of, but that Our Lady wants to teach us, that she wants to bring us into these mysteries. And one way to do that is by reading the Mystical City of God. Through prayer, we often speak to God, but through spiritual reading, that is often how He wants to speak to us. A holy book that brings us into the mysteries of God is sort of like a spark which lights the fodder on fire, that gives warmth and substance to everything that our prayer is preparing in our hearts. So I encourage you to order this book, the abridged version, which is still 700 pages, or the 4-volume set, which is 3,000 pages. Again, there's too much to cover in these 3,000 pages for a short video, but I want to encourage you that the love that God has prepared for us is so far beyond anything we have ever imagined. God's love for the Virgin Mary is beyond human comprehension or human telling. Even the angels can't comprehend it. But this book gives a small glimpse into how much Mary loves Jesus Christ, but also how much she loves the church, how much she loves every single soul, and how she would suffer every pain that she ever went through again if it meant saving one of our souls. This is her love for us. This is Christ's love for us. I leave you with the words of our Lord right before His Ascension. He said, "My sweetest children, I am about to ascend to my Father, from whose bosom I descended in order to rescue and save men. I leave you in my stead, my own mother, as your protectress, consoler, and advocate, and as your mother, whom you are to hear and obey in all things. Just as I have told you that he who sees me sees my Father, and he who knows me knows also him, so I now tell you that he who knows my mother knows me. He who hears her hears me, and who honors her honors me." Thank you so much for watching. May God bless you, and may Our Lady keep you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is so good! So good.